cliffcentral.com.
All right, Damon, you've definitely got people wound up this morning. I mean, your energy is admirable.
Yeah, I've been told that I'm shouty and argumentative. You're right. I'm sorry, I did get shouty, but in my defense, Gareth, you do interrupt out of the lot, and I don't get a word in.
Who did you get the criticism from?
Someone on Twitter by the name of Adam Duploy.
Okay.
Did he say?
So I liked it and I retweeted. I found that whenever people are critical of you on Twitter, you must always like and retweet.
Oh,
because because it kind of takes the wind out of the sails. They think that they've been horrible to you, and they think that, oh, I'm going to be upset or offended. So then I retweet it and I like it to say, thank you for listening. You know, you may not like me, but thank you for listening, etc., etc. And what I've also learned, it's about the public. It's not about that one person. So when you retweet and like, it's entertainment for other people to observe and appreciate.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have a strategy for Twitter anymore because I didn't go on there. That's my strategy. Yeah.
No. You say that. I don't believe you.
Promise you.
I see you sharing and liking and all of that stuff. No, often, no.
So I don't even have the logins anymore. Rena runs all of that.
So I'm talking to Rena.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm not on Twitter.
I want to talk to you, Rena.
I'm not on Twitter anymore. I'm really not. There's nothing there for me. There's nothing there that I want. And the kinds of conversations that you have with people are so pure.
I'm on the other side of the coin with that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Gareth, you need to, I'm worried about you. You might do something bad on social media. Let me be in charge of your social media. I think that's more like it.
I opted out long ago. I was ready to close down my Twitter account. She said, no, don't. You know, you got 2 million people there who follow you. And look, a lot of those might be fake, but...
Thank God you've got Rena, Gareth. That's all I know. I hope you give her a big birthday present every year, and I hope you go shopping for her and all of that kind of stuff.
Raymond, what do you think she deserves?
She deserves whatever she deserves more.
The Nobel Peace Prize.
She deserves a bigger cut.
50%.
50% at the very, very least.
Yeah.
Even if you go do some gig in Bethlehem. She deserves 50%.
I don't do those anymore. Hey?
If you had to, one hypothetically, even if she didn't drive through those horrible potholes again,
this is so uninteresting to people who don't know the personalities involved. Okay, so here's something interesting to you, Damon. You seem to think that you're the one who put me onto watching The Boys, that series with the superheroes, and not Gord.
I don't mind if it was just mentioned once. Oh, Gord Laws put me onto Boys. The Boys. But I've heard you say twice now that Gordon Laws put you onto The Boys. And I know for a fact that I did. That's all I'm saying. And you forget things.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that it was you.
I definitely did. And the way
you want rightful credit.
The way you described The Boys as well. I got a bit of a problem with it. I don't think you gave it the credit it deserves. You just said they're evil superheroes. But it's more than that. It's such a clever, the whole way that these superheroes are managed and the marketing strategy and the spin doctoring and the whole industry behind these superheroes and the way it's all done and the way the show kind of like makes a mockery of like, it's kind of like Wag the Dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just from that point of view, the show is also amazing. It's not just because of the action and the killing and the blood and the heads exploding. The heads exploding is like amazing. But that's not just, it's more to it than that. It's just so clever. Hey, or am I the only one who see? I'm not the only one seeing that, surely.
No, it's listen. All of those things you just said are true. Otherwise, I wouldn't have carried on watching.
No, it's fantastic, man.
It's a great show. Sure. Apparently, they're doing a third season.
Yeah, but they're going to wear masks. How are they going to do it?
So Hollywood basically shut down during the lockdown. And you know, California's got one of the strictest lockdowns in America. So you well, can't, you a, can't fi- they, you, filming, the whole film industry.
But then the Batman movie, they're filming the Batman movie now yeah. during this lockdown. So, and then the main actor, bless you, this Patterson guy got the COVID-19 in the middle of filming. So they had to stop filming for a while. So there must be some production and filming going on, surely, right? Or not?
No, yeah, there's some studios who are making bigger investments than others. Like Tyler Perry Studio in Atlanta, films like Once Upon a Time, The Walking Dead, and some movies and some series. Uh-huh. They actually, because the lot is big enough, they moved the whole cast and crew onto the studio lot for the duration of the filming. So you're not allowed to go out once you're in up until the production wraps, and then everyone can leave.
I'm just wondering if we're going to get to a point suddenly, if this whole thing carries on and on, are we suddenly, are going to have to start suddenly repeat movies and repeat shows?
You mean like
stirring the fire?
Are they going to run out of
experts?
Are they going to run out of things?
Like the SABC, where they just repeat old stuff.
Oh my God. I was at my sister's place months and months ago, and they've only got SABC 1, 2, and 3 and ETV. Oh my God. I was sitting there, and the show came on literally from the early 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was so depressing. No wonder I never visit her. It's too terrible.
Which sister?
You know,
schizoaffective disorder one.
Yeah, Damon, let's just explain to people.
That's what she's been reduced to.
You categorize. You've got three sisters.
So my one sister's got psychiatric problems, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Anyway.
So that's the psychiatric problems one, and then the other two sisters, and you also you don't really say their names, you rather just say which problems they have.
Well, you know, you don't want to get too personal, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying. And the other ones
want to get too personal when you're describing her.
You just said the one has psychiatric problems, and now I don't want to get too personal.
The other two is not really much to talk about, and it'll just sound like I'm talking about your manager. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. It's getting in the reeds. It's not really anybody's business.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's not that interesting.
I got to tell you, I find your family fascinating, but that's just me. I think they.
I went to go visit my mother. So that lady early on, I can't see my mother. Well, I saw my mother. I got a phone.
Our listeners sounded to you.
Yes. I mean, like, she's suffering so much. She hasn't seen her mother, like a murder mother that close. Anyway. I got a phone call from the old age home.
Damon, Ruth, hold on. Ruth called in to tell us about how her mother's been alone for so long and that it's impacting her negatively. And you just dismiss it like, oh, she doesn't love her mother as much as you love yours. I mean,
no. What I'm trying to say is there's a bigger picture, okay? There's a bigger picture. So anyway, I get a phone call. You can come have an appointment to see your mother. So I had to make an appointment. And I could only visit her myself. So I made the appointment. I arrived. And I had to fill in a form and the mask and the washing of the hands. So I arrived. And there's my mother sitting behind this clear, either perspex or glass kind of thing.
Oh,
she's sitting
joking.
There. And I think my
like
mother.
She's like she's in jail. Because that's how you get to do jail visitations.
Well, not really. She did have people standing next to her, I suppose, to make sure things didn't get out of hand. But it's like my mother had an agenda. I think she was worried that we wouldn't have things to talk about. So the lady on the phone says the meeting's going to be 35 minutes long. So I said to the lady, listen, I'm wearing a mask. My mother's wearing a mask. My mother's like 80% deaf. I can't shout for 35 minutes, believe it or not. So this will be a 10-minute meeting at the very most. So I arrive, and my mother's got this agenda. She brings materials with her. She brings a book that my oldest brother made. It was a project that he made when he was in primary school on the family. So there was a photo of each member of the family, and he wrote a story. My mother pass that underneath to show me. Like, then my mother gives me a Mother's Day card that I gave her when I was 5 or 6 years old. She gives it to me. So there's something to talk about.
I find this is very disturbing. Just hold on. This is very disturbing. So you call to make an appointment, just like a prison visit. Hold on. I want to go through this because this is really difficult for people who don't have elderly parents in a home to consider. And Ruth probably knows about this. You have to call to make an appointment.
They called me.
Oh, so she wanted to see you.
No. The old age home, they've lifted restrictions slightly, and they decided, people can come visit, so they come in, so they inform us.
So they call you and they say, "Here's your window for 35 minutes." There's plexiglass between.
They gave me certain days and options, and I chose a Friday because I thought, okay, Friday I can manage in terms of my work, et cetera,
so you then arrive there and there's the screen between the two of you. There are people there watching that things don't get out of hand, just like in prison.
Imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's allowed to pass you stuff that they've probably...
Yeah, so there's a gap underneath the perspex, underneath the screen.
What a joke.
Well, that's the thing is, my mother's 90 years old. If she got COVID, it's boom, tickets.
And she arrives with she's prepared for this meeting so that she doesn't run out of things to say to you, because that would be a waste of the visit.
She's worried that there won't be conversation. Okay, so what it boils down to is my mother doesn't like to talk about serious things and personal, meaningful things. She only will talk about superficial stuff. Mm-hmm. How are you? This person,
I think your daughter is trying to get your attention.
Yes. I'm in the middle of a show. Very unprofessional.
Deal with your daughter. She's your daughter. Okay. It's important. You're worse than your... You know, Damon, you're just like your mother. You just treated your daughter like your mother treats you.
You just said your mother can't get all personal and look at what you did.
You just did exactly the same. It runs in the Calvary genes.
She's being naughty. My wife, Bernice, is awake and is perfectly awake.
Yeah.
She, are we expecting a lift? Someone's coming to pick her up, one of the fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that her mummy's with her there. So it's like she needs to come and disturb the show and talk to me because look at me, I want attention.
Oh, right.
Wasn't necessary.
I wonder.
Wasn't necessary. Yes. But okay. So what was I saying? So then she won't, like, I can't talk to my mother about my sister's psychiatric problems. She won't, she'll just brush it off and she won't talk about it. Those kind of things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'll say to her, Simone's doing a lot better. She's improved a hell of a lot in the last year, but you know what? She's still, I don't think she's ever going to be 100%. Well, what'll be will be. That's her response. I mean, that's her response. There's no analysis. There's no opinion. Well, you know, she was in this state in this year. Like, there's no actual.
She's got nothing to say.
Like, there's no thinking. It's just, well, you know, what could be. Right.
I'm gonna let Ruth come back because she wants to argue with you and she wants to talk about these old age homes. And you know what? It's something I haven't given much thought to because I don't have any old people in my life. My parents are in their 60s. I suppose you could say that they're, you know, past middle age, but they're not old. And all my grandparents did me a huge favor.
Your parents are only in their 60s?
Yeah, they're still in their 60s. And all the old people in my life, really old people, grandparents, did me the favor of dying really early. So
the fact that you still say it like that is a little concerning.
They saved me the trouble by dying before they became a problem. All of them, all four of them. So I'm hugely, you know, in debt to my grandparents for not becoming a problem.
Don't say it like that, Jareth.
It's the truth. I mean, what must I say? So Ruth, you want to take Damon on. So go ahead. What do you want to say to him? What do you want to say to Damon, Ruth?
Okay. First of all, how do I find my camera?
Yeah, switch it on. Let's see. Let's see.
So look in the top left hand side. Yeah.
It says on air. Okay, there. Yeah, got it. All right. How's it, guys?
Hey, Ruth. Go ahead. Now, Damon said a lot of very insensitive, I thought very insensitive and unkind things to you just now. Go ahead.
The truth is, I actually like Damon. I think he's a lach. Damon, this is not about me. This is about my mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm so angry. I'm shaking.
Go for it.
There are workers at the care home and they can come and go. There are obviously rules. They have to sanitize and they have to change their clothing and they have to do all these things. However, the daily staff that run the front desk and admin, they all come and go as they please. Okay. There's apparently rumors that some of the contractors that come to work to fix pipes and plumbing and that need nitty gritty maintenance, sometimes don't even get checked. Okay. Whether this is true or not, I don't know. I'm just speculating, but my mother's over a weekend, she'll become incredibly depressed. She'll send me messages like, I don't care. She'll forget because she's elderly. She's had a heart attack and a stroke. She's not that old, but she is 76 and she has also been sort of diagnosed with mild bipolar disorder. And she's struggling. So she misses me and my son incredibly over a weekend. Okay. You know, it's Friday night, it's Shabbos. And I think the only old age homes that do this are the Jewish ones. I'll be honest. Israel has locked down. Okay. Apparently on Monday or on Sunday, they're opening again. I don't understand why it's only us. Are we so fearful of death?
Hey, can I read you something? This is very funny. Damon and Ruth, you'll understand this. So this is hilarious. It was written on Facebook by somebody. I'm convinced the pandemic has made the whole world Jewish. There are complicated rules. Listen to this. There are complicated rules which are open to interpretation and have huge geographical variance. There are times you can't get a haircut, times you can't get married, lots of ritual hand washing, but it goes deeper still. Jews have always thought their own level of observance is the gold standard. Anyone who's more religious than you is crazy. Anyone less religious is practically a Gentile. Now the rest of the world is doing this regarding the observance of COVID guidelines. Anyone who's a bit more careful than you is a germaphobe, Howard Hughes-level lunatic. Anyone who's less than you is a disgrace and has blood on their hands, and any future outbreak will be their personal fault. Welcome to the club, everyone. You're all Jews now.
Can you please WhatsApp that to me? Please would you WhatsApp that to me?
Yeah, it's funny.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's very
nice. Didn't I send you that, Gareth? I think I actually sent that to you.
Hold on, tell me, because I thought it was very insensitive of Damon to say that you don't really have that great a relationship with your mother.
Obviously, I'm joking, man.
Oh, please.
Obviously, that was a joke.
I think it was quite vicious.
Tongue in cheek there. It was tongue in cheek,
obviously. I don't know Ruth from a bar of soap. Obviously, I was joking because I don't know your mother and her.
It sounds to me like you're backpedaling because you know that you were extremely insensitive.
Man.
This poor old lady has been locked up in this old age home.
Not just her. There are like close to over 60 residents at this particular home. And they have, she's missing her life with her grandson.
Yeah.
My mother. She's missing. Mm. We've just had Yontiv. Okay.
Yes.
I would sort of agree that they would come out after the Yontiv period. Meanwhile, the staff are not, they're not stopping, they're not being monitored or locked away or can't do anything of their own. They can still have their lives. They can still see who they want. But I cannot take, meanwhile, oh wait, get this. So she has to go and have a crown done or something. They take her to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought, well, should I run to the dentist and go and see her? And I thought, well, maybe it will cause an uproar. But they have all these other rules for the residents, but I cannot take her. And I suggested this.
Let me just ask you this. Biological life, just being alive and being trapped like this is suboptimal. That is not a life, as you rightly said. You'd almost rather, and I think a lot of these older people would almost rather take their chances with whatever COVID will give them. And, so, you know, again, even in those old groups, your chance of survival is high.
Correct.
You know, your chance.
And they've been through so much.
Your chance of survival are high.
Your chance.
Gareth, how do you know that?
Mangosuthu Buthelezi is 92 years old and the man has survived COVID.
Well, I would take
my... Well, great. I will take my chances with my mother. I will bring her out of the home, and when she's ready to go back, retest her. Apparently, that's not...
Ruth,
I suggested that.
Ruth, do you see what I'm do you see what I'm dealing with here? Can you believe this?
Gareth, you just
I'm
said,
trying to be rational.
Said, can you believe you this moron that, I deal with?
Gareth, you just said the chances of these elderly people recovering from COVID is very high. What kind of a statement is that?
You know.
Have you lost your mind?
Damon, the fact is that the objective, inarguable fact is that there is a 99% chance, on average, anywhere in the world, that you survive COVID. 99%.
No. I'm looking at elderly people in an old age home, Gareth. People between the ages of 80 and 100. That's what we're talking about now. Hello?
You know what? You're given so many years on this earth. I would rather have a great relationship with my mother in the end.
Thank you.
There are so many people who have died not being able to say goodbye to their parents.
Ugh, that must be the worst.
Okay, so Ruth, so you would like, so you don't mind taking your mother out of the old age home,
yes.
hypothetically, she contracts COVID-19 maybe. Then she takes it back into the old age home.
No, I will have her tested before she goes back. Obviously, I'm not going to put other people's lives at risk. But they've already had a bout of COVID.
Okay.
They locked down. Ooh, strict lockdown. Guess what? COVID got in. Miraculously, they had four COVID deaths.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway,
The COVID-19 virus and illnesses and diseases in general do not read textbooks. So you cannot just know for definite that if you take
you undermine
I become shouty and argumentative if you keep on interrupting. Well, I don't want to become shouty.
Migs calls you Damon Shouty Backpedaler Calvary.
I don't want to become shouty. Please prevent me from becoming shouty. Let me just talk.
Oh, poor Ruth. So, she has to listen to this shit.
I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. So you take your mother out and say she picks up COVID, but you're going to test her beforehand. And she tests negative.
Yeah.
How do you know that how do you know that the test was 100% accurate? How do you know that it's still in incubation and the test and she actually is positive?
Okay.
You don't actually know. They don't know for 100% exactly what's going on.
So the people that come in and out every day to the old age home, they just miraculously are like immune from COVID. Their own social worker got COVID and was hospitalized.
Okay,
all right.
We are assuming. Okay. You're not Pocahontas now. Settle down. The thing is, you are assuming what should ideally be happening with these workers and people that are going in and out. They're supposed to be wearing masks. They're supposed to be washing their hands, etc. Okay.
You know, all you've told us, I'm going to summarize your whole position this morning, Damon. Your position is, we don't know, nobody knows, trust the experts that I, Damon Calvary, tell you to trust, and otherwise ignore all other inputs because...
No, you're leaving out something very important. Leave it. You are not an expert, Gareth. You're being extremely arrogant about this whole thing. You are not an expert. You've got no medical background. You've never studied... epidemiology. You've never studied pathology. You've got no clue. Gareth.
All of this is exactly.
You've done a lot of reading. You've got no clinical medical experience. Exhausting.
All of this is exactly the same criticism I can level at you. But we're having a conversation.
You can't.
Yes, I can.
You can't.
How
no,
can
you
I?
Can't. Because I've actually studied epidemiology.
Right.
I've actually studied general pathology. Dr. Calvary, why don't you
and Dr. Fauci and Marianne Tam and Dr. Zwelin Kize can run the world, and then we'll see how well everything goes.
The bottom line, people's mental health is suffering, okay?
Mental schmental.
Really?
What the hell? You're saving people's lives, man.
At what cost to their happiness? Life is about, come on, L'chaim, live life.
And what it is. Because your mother's not happy. She must go out, come back, and kill everybody.
Oh, such drama. God. Such drama. Jesus. Okay, listen. Ruth, yeah, listen, Ruth. Ruth, can you see what
brother,
I just hold
my
on. Damon.
My brother lives in Toronto.
Damon.
He's a podiatrist. He treats, don't make me shouty. Let me quickly give an example. He works in Toronto. He's a podiatrist. And his main job is going to all these old age homes and cutting their disgusting, horrible, what a terrible
their
job.
Feet.
But anyway, that's what he does. Now, at the beginning of the pandemic, when they didn't know what was going on, the one old age home, I think about 27 people died in the old age home, and other old age homes even more. So right. It is a thing.
You know what?
Elderly people.
Will you shut up for a second? I'm going to do what Joe Biden did. You sound like Donald Trump this morning. You're interrupting everything. Will you
not
shut up,
all.
Man?
So, not at all.
Ruth,
you're hardly giving me a chance to talk.
All you've done
and then
is
I get
to,
all shouty.
Look at you. All you do is talk. So, Ruth, do you see what I'm dealing with here?
It's tough.
Don't you feel a little
but
bit?
But we love you, Damon. We do. We do love you.
You feel sorry for me, don't you? I mean, come on.
Hundreds. Hundreds, but you, Gareth Cliff, you built of thicker skin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. God.
This is unbelievable.
But this is the problem. So I've got at least 3 or 4 friends that think like him.
Yeah,
and we've stopped sort of speaking.
Yeah.
Because it's
you
ludicrous.
You must cut toxic people like that.
You've got sensible friends.
You must cut those people out of your life, Ruth. It's too much.
No. No. Sorry,
right.
Dave.
Ruth,
all right.
Ruth, we got to go.
God bless, guys.
Thank you.
You are not. You are not an expert on everything, Gareth. It's simple as that.
I'll tell you what I am an expert on. Is I've learned a lot about the various lotteries around the world. And you know that one of our clients is Mareka. She's from Lottoland, South Africa. And I won 65 rand on Monday. Look, I was going for 1.7 billion rand, but I got 65. So, Mareka, that's not bad. The system works.
Morning. The system works very well on a lighter note.
exactly.
On a much lighter note. Thank you, Marie.
Can you believe this lunatic Damon Calvary who's on the show this morning? Have you ever heard such a crazy person in your life?
Don't let me. I don't want to comment. No comment.
It's very wise. Okay, so listen, I won 65 rand. And I'm into this now. So, I mean, you know, it's not going to cost me. I'm not putting my life savings into it. And obviously, you know, you guys, like any other responsible gambling association or business, you have to fulfill certain rules in order to work. But I'm curious because I think someone was trying to hack into my account. I got this notification from you guys that there were like 3 or 4 logins that were attempted with the wrong password. So I couldn't get in yesterday. I wanted to see what the big jackpots were. So obviously you've got all kinds of security measures in place too to protect these accounts.
Sure, and I think what happens, and I think it's like any bank phishing scam. Mm. So, I mean, there's definitely phishing attempts on all platforms. And strangely enough, this is not lottery related, but look, my husband actually typed mails to his accountant to release payments.
Yeah.
And then somehow, like a week later, he received a mail saying he's going to release the payment. So somehow, I don't know, somebody or somehow people are intercepting emails. Yeah. I think that's one thing to understand. But yes, that's actually probably a phishing scam that happened to you.
Yeah, that's – well, I mean, we'll figure it out because I'm having fun with this. But let's just talk today about something in particular. If you needed convincing this morning, Mareka Haywood's back at it again to let you know why you should play. And Mareka, the Go products, the Go with an exclamation mark, what are Go products on Lottoland? What is that all about?
So there are 3 Go products. It's the Euro Millions Go, the Euro Jackpot Go, as well as the 649 Go. So these 3 products are exactly the same as their namesake. The grid is the same. The payout amount is the same. And the only difference is these draws are hourly. So you now stand a chance to win these amounts every hour, 24/7.
All right. So those sound like much more fun, much more regular bets that you can take. And what about tips that can help people win? Because everybody thinks that they've yeah, crack the code. I know one person who's got an uncle, and this uncle of his seems to think that he has a secret formula for figuring out the lottery, but obviously this guy's never won. Are there any tips?
There is tips, and it's funny that you say that. Lottery numbers or lucky lottery.
No, just start that. Start that again because you broke up for a second there. Just say that again.
So if you go on YouTube, there's quite a few videos that educate people on how to play the lottery, which is very funny. But some interesting stats that I did pull, because people usually ask, do you play quick pick or do you choose your own numbers? So according to an article in the New York Times, about 70% of lottery winners use quick pick to choose their numbers. So my personal assumption for this is usually you choose your own lucky numbers, and that is between 1 and 39. Mm-hmm. So that's usually your birth date or the date of your loved ones. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the US Powerball, the grid is 1 to 69. And what happens is you tend to only choose that 1 to 31 numbers. So my and everybody has got their lucky numbers. So my suggestion is play half of the bets with your own selected numbers,
right,
and the rest with the quick picks. And let's see if that works.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Damon, have you ever played the lottery? You do it often.
I do it often, and for me, it's not a good thing, because I choose the numbers and then I start fantasizing on what I'm going to be doing with the money, and then I forget my own problems, and I'm living in this fantasy world.
Yeah.
And then when I don't win, I'm actually disappointed. I'm actually like, oh my god, I didn't win.
So this sounds
it should motivate you to play some more.
Yeah. And what I often do is if it's only 10 million, it's not enough. I'll only buy tickets when it's like very high, like 80 million.
Well, this is huge, because if Marika, what's the US Powerball at right now?
It's like six billion rand or something.
So it's your platform, it's 7 billion. So tomorrow, it's tomorrow morning is the last, because remember we run a special payout in October. So the payout is higher than the normal payout on the US Powerball. So currently, tomorrow's draw, 5 a.m., we're looking at 7 billion rand.
So I listened to you speaking to Marika like last week, and I'm listening to her now. And I even start fantasizing, if I win the 7 billion rand, I actually fantasize what I'll do with each billion. Okay, I'll give 1 billion to the gift of the givers. Then I'll give another billion to the Chevra Kedisha, which is a Jewish thing. But on the other hand, maybe I should rather create a trust fund with the 7 billion and then allot a certain amount every month and then reinvest. I do this whole thing in my head, and it's crazy. It's crazy.
Marika, what actually happens if we win? Let's say I buy a ticket. No, that's good. That's what a lot of people do. What happens if you win the 7 billion rand? How does that actually work? If we can fantasize like Damon, but how does it take place? What are the logistics around this?
Tax.
So tax is your own problem. So you need to sort out your own tax.
You are taxed.
Yeah.
Every person is taxed. So income, you are responsible for your own income tax. And it's the same with winning. So that's your responsibility, not ours. And we will obviously, there might be a possibility, I don't know, with the flying now. So let's say there's no COVID. Mm. I think the possibility of you going to our head office in Gibraltar is quite big. And we've got all the necessary just guidance and financial planners. If that's not a possibility, then obviously we'll do it here in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. So we'll obviously just spend some time with you just to prepare you with the right professional people for this, because I mean this is life changing. People lose family. I've read articles of people like literally losing their lives in a very bad way. But it also, like our German winner and Christina, that is actually a very positive story. So there is obviously pros and cons to it. And then Gareth, the reality is that money comes from abroad. And you get that transfer into your bank account. Jeez. That is just the thought of that.
You'll just wake up and suddenly you've got seven figures in your bank account. Ooh. Oh my God. More than
it's
seven.
It's actually nine.
Nine figures.
It's nine. Oh.
Oh my God.
9 zeros.
So, yeah. Carl says, Carl's listening to us now. He sent this message and he says, my only hope is that Damon wins the lottery so that he doesn't need to come on the show and he can stay away. How's that, Dave?
No. I'm not paid for this. I would still do this. Come on. The French Riviera has Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, all right. What about, this is just such a, I love going down this road. That's why I could talk about this every day. And I really, it's never an issue to talk about it. There's so many things to think about here. You'd probably, I'm guessing, because this is how SARS deals with really rich people, right? Is that they sit down and actually discuss it with them. As you say, taxes are a problem, but I reckon you could make an appointment with them and you say, listen, I've just won this huge international lottery. So what do you think is fair? And they would figure out something, because this is not the kind of thing where they just automatically would tax you. I mean, there are tax implications, but you would have to sit down and discuss it with them because it's such a huge amount of money.
Mm. You know, my dad, so this is quite funny. I told you that my family is very into this thing now as well.
Mm.
So my dad is one of these really, really good people that wants to feed hungry children. That's his main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays it. He plays Lotto Land. And he prays every night that he wins it.
Yeah.
So his dream is to feed this 100 children. He's actually now on a massive mission to start companies or a company that, because it's for an NGO, I think you do not get taxed on. So that,
right.
And obviously this is not to run away from SARS. His real main mission is to feed the hungry children. That is really, really
well,
what I
want
to do.
You know, Marika, so, that's my mission too, because I'm going to start an NGO that is a religious and charity organization so that I don't have to pay the tax.
Marika, don't listen to Gareth.
That's my
Your
plan.
Your dad is a good one in this equation.
Yeah, I hope SARS is not listening as well.
No, trust me, they're everywhere. Oops. They're listening here. Isn't Tito doing that medium-term budget speech this morning? I bet you Tito wishes he could gamble some government money here, because if they won the lotto, they might actually be able to make the budgets for the year. But Marika, this is terrific. Thank you very much. We will be playing as I have been for the last couple of weeks. I've won twice. It's been small amounts, but it makes me feel good.
You know what I'm always saying is you can never catch a fish if you're hooked in the water.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to play thousands of rounds. Just play every now and then.
Yeah.
Put your water and you might be that winner.
All right. Lottoland.co.za is where you can find out more. And thank you very much, Marika. It's always good to see you. I hope I can log into my account today so I can get cracking on this.
What Gareth, the... guys. Have a lovely day.
All right. Cheers,
Marika. Gareth, I thought in the spirit of consistency, I should introduce you to one of my other dogs.
How many?
This is Rufus. This is Rufus.
How many?
Now, Rufus is a salt and pepper miniature schnauzer.
Yeah.
Now the problem is you can see Rufus, but Rufus can't see you. He's blind.
Oh, is he blind?
But I think he's got a little bit of vision in his left eye. See, look, he looked at my hand. But if I go like that, he doesn't move. Oh, you see, he's got a little bit of.
Basically, you don't know your dog.
Listen, it's a dog. You can't put him in front of the chart and see what line can you see. You know what I'm saying? He's a dog. But I've noticed that he's more aware of his surroundings than he used to be.
Do you do you have to do special things for him like you would for a blind person? Like make sure you show him where to go or put down his food and then click for him or whatever?
Originally that's what I did, but he learned very quickly. Dogs are amazing. I think what he did was he started urinating around the property more, because that's like a way of knowing your way around.
Yeah.
Which is clever, which people don't do. See, because I can see you, your mind's ticking. Do people also wee around? No, they don't. But
my
dogs.
My drunk uncle used to do that.
Oh, really? My father actually did it towards the end of his life. The one time I saw my father urinating on the driveway, and that's when I knew my father's not
just an image. Yeah, it's just an image you don't want to see, because then you can't get it out of your mind.
But we have a friend. Let's call him Lawrence. He comes to visit us, and he won't use our toilet. He'll go urinate in the garden because he says he's got a split flow, and he's actually doing us a favor because he feels that he messes when he urinates.
Why is he still your friend?
He's
highly entertained.
You know, sometimes you have friends that maybe they're not the best people in the world. Maybe their morals aren't the best. Maybe they're not always bright. But they're highly entertaining. And sometimes
and
that's
you a keep trick, a
and sometimes you stream. Keep sometimes you keep people. You have people over because they're highly entertaining. You know,
and the fact that you have to explain it to people often, like it's a dinner party, and then it's like, oh, don't mind Lawrence, just needs to go and pee outside.
No, he doesn't announce it, but we know that's what he's doing. He gets up and he goes outside and he comes back like a few minutes later because he's urinated in our garden.
It's a good thing you don't.
So then you also know if he's going to take a bowel movement because that's the only time he goes into the bathroom.
Yeah, must be.
I never thought of that. But
must be very difficult for Lawrence when he has to go to a flat where there isn't a garden and he can't pee outside.
Then he probably takes his chance with the toilets and maybe he makes a mess.
He should buy one of those cups that women use where it directs your stream
actually sell those. They're called she pees. Actually sell them.
Oh.
We got a little. We don't just do fragrances. We got a bid or buy account where we sell a whole lot of different things. You can't believe the things that we sell that people buy. Anyway, it's a she pee.
Wait, Sia's enjoying this.
So is it Bernice? Is it silicone or paper? I can't remember. It's medical grade silicone, Bernice just told me. It's medical grade silicone. The woman stands, legs slightly apart, I assume, and she places it under her urethra, and then she lands up urinating like a man. How about that?
Fantastic.
It's very useful. A lot of sports people, cyclists, runners, they were probably the first people to really make it slightly more popular. Although I don't know how popular it really is. Anyway, we sell maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5, 6 a month. So it's not a huge seller. But we also sell silicone menstrual cups. Menstrual cups that you can use over and over again. We sell that as well.
Are there any things that you sell that aren't disgusting and related to to the human body and it's all human body related stuff, right?
No. We sell a lot of tat with it. We call them tatskas.
Yeah.
But they're miniatures. We sell lots of miniatures.
Go on. What else?
Okay. Do you know when you go shopping at Checkers and Checkers go through this promotion where they give you miniatures like a little milk or a little detergent?
Yes,
or
those
a little,
things. Yeah.
So what we do is we collect them and we hold on to them. And then a year later, we sell them. People actually buy them from us.
And
even though
there's a demand for this?
There's a demand for it. People love it. People want to buy it.
Well,
we sell things that I would never think that anybody would want.
This is the Calvary treasure.
No, it's amazing. You'll be surprised. Extra money.
Calvary treasure. That's the miniatures from Pick and Pay or Checkers or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We've sold books as well, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
Wow.
Very exciting. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, no. There you go.
Don't ever say you don't learn something new every day.
but it's a mission because we have it in a little wooden shed outside. And the wooden shed doesn't have any air conditioning and there's no light, so you have to keep the door open.
And then while you're in there, you can just smell Lawrence's pee on the side.
And possibly. And you have to search for the items and there's literally thousands and thousands of items and it's quite an ordeal to actually go through it all. So I kind of like Bernice does it more often because she's better at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, eh?
Jeez. All right. Very good. Damon's political arguments. This is Tracy. She says, it's like his blind...
There's no political arguments. What are you talking about?
Just let me read her comment, you know?
Before you get thrown.
Donald Trump in the debate. Damon's political arguments, it's like his blind Rufus is his guide dog. He just can't see beyond his own gospel. I love you, Damon, but you're retarded.
That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
She used the word political arguments, and that's one of the problems. It shouldn't be political. It's medical. It's a medical phenomenon, but it's become political. COVID-19 has been politicized. Mask wearing has become politicized. It's insane. The world has gone mad. If you wear a mask, then you're left wing. If you don't wear a mask, then you're right wing. Or in America, you're a Republican if you don't wear a mask, and you're a Democrat if you do wear a mask. It's insane. The world has gone mad.
excuse me, putting my producer hat on that note with the Democrats.
And yes, we've the got Republicans. Such a great show.
We have
this
a new
evening.
Episode of So What Now tonight. All right. At
so you know what? I mean, most mornings I mention the show because I kind of want people to watch it. But this is actually this is the best show we've done so far, and we've got, you know, Debbie Droke, who's been on this show with us a number of times. She's a little bit insane. She's a massive Joe Biden supporter. We've got a guy who campaigned for Hillary and for Cory Booker and a bunch of other Democrats.
Abrams.
That's right, Stacey Abrams. His name is Dom DeLuca. He's also on the show live from Atlanta this evening.
Dom Leon Davis.
Sorry, what did I say? Dom
DeLuca. Dom Leon. The Italian prime.
Right. So Dom Leon Davis. And then we've got Jonathan Witt, who Damon says is not a credible person. He will be on this evening, and he makes some very, very strong arguments. But you'll see these three fighting tonight. And I've been waiting to make this happen on the show, because there's nothing more boring than TV where everyone agrees. And we've done like 19 episodes of this show where mostly it's been sensible people agreeing. And tonight you get to see some real fight. So it's great. You don't want to miss this evening, 8:30 p.m. ENCA. That's channel 403.
Does anybody become shouty like me?
Yes.
Very.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's good. Sometimes you need to be shouty. If somebody doesn't let you get a word in, unfortunately, you become shouty.
Yeah, when your house, don't you, and Bernice, you shout at each other a lot.
Not really, because Bernice has got a very strong character. Mm. So she shouts. If I start shouting as well, then it's not workable. So somebody has to be calm and sulk and just get quiet.
Get passive aggressive.
Not passive aggressive, but just quiet, and then try and speak gently. But, you know, yeah, look, it's a process.
I think you think you're the adult in the relationship, but she probably
No. Mm. On the contrary, I'm the child and she's the adult.
Oh.
And that's where we're working on as a couple, where I need to become more of the adult. And it's not easy because of my upbringing. I was the youngest child of six children. I had a mother that wasn't. Anyway, the point is, I've got a lot of growing to do as a human being, and as a husband, I need to improve as a husband. Right. I'm a terrible husband. I need to
be
more of an adult.
Before you completely unburden yourself of all your problems this morning, Beyonce Knowles. Who knew that Beyonce used to listen to CliffCentral.com? But here she is. Beyonce Knowles messages us this morning. Damon needs help.
Damon, if we all don't. What do you mean? I need help.
Well, if Beyonce Knowles is listening to the show this morning, I didn't know that Beyonce was a fan, but wow, this is a big deal.
I think that is a fictitious name.
I don't think
name.
So. I think it's the real Beyonce.
I don't think it's the real Beyonce, purely because of the time difference.
Damon, I think it's the real Beyonce. She sometimes stays up late. She's writing songs. She's
Los Angeles is 9 hours.
She's in New York.
Nine hours.
Beyonce lives in New York. So first.
Then she's six. Then it's 2 o'clock in the morning in New York.
So you've got.
5 to 2 in the morning.
She's looking for something to listen to. And the one contribution she wants to make is to tell you that you need help.
Okay.
You need to listen to it if Beyonce says it.
Yeah. I think she must focus on who's her husband? Oh, no, her husband's okay. I got her confused with Kim Kardashian, whose husband is not well. But Jay-Z's fine. He's healthy. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I am so exhausted.
Because I was shouty. So that got exhausting.
I can actually feel my shoulders are a little tense.
Damon, Yoli says, Yoli.
Yoli.
Yeah, like Yoliswa or whatever. But Yoli says.
Oh. I thought it was an Israeli, man.
Yoli. Well, maybe it is. So Yoli says, Damon, please make an instructional video on how to become shouty. I need that skill.
Okay, then you need somebody to interrupt you all the time and not let you get a word in, and then you become shouty.
Carl says, Damon, you need to go and listen back to the show this morning. You are fucking deluded. You do not stop shouting and interrupting.
I've been told that many times. I'm willing to accept that that is a possibility.
A possibility.
It's a possibility. I'm not perfect.
Right.
Vusi says, Damon, you need to calm down and watch Dr. Li Mengyan, coronavirus whistleblower, who...
Dr. Li Mengyan.
Yeah, Li Mengyan, who tells the Chinese government, who tells the story about how the Chinese government covered up the emergence of SARS-CoV-2 on London Real TV. This is the only expert you need to listen to. That's according to Vusi.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Damon, my cousins, says Janet, on the Jewish side of the family, used to have a small business called Heist and Scanive or Scanive.
It's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah. Basically, they would rock up at your house and cart away all your dreck and resell it. It sounds like your business with Bernice.
It's close. We buy a lot of dreck and we undreck it and it works.
And people buy these miniature things.
People buy like we there's these things. It was like a little cartoon character on a little spring, and it was all stretched out. The spring wasn't even working that well, and you put it at the end of a pencil, I said to Bernice, who the hell's going to buy this? True's God, somebody bought it. But not for a lot. It probably sold for maybe 10 Rand. Bernice just says 10 Rand. It was 10 Rand. So people buy things. It's amazing.
That's unbelievable. Oh, that's unreal. Okay. Well, this has been fun, everybody. Thank you for participating in this whack job show of ours this morning. Damon Calvari making another star appearance. For all intents and purposes, people just love it when Damon's on. So it's always good to have you on, Damon, even though everybody likes to disagree with you.
Yes. Well, the thing is, it's not scientific. Only a certain amount of people actually ever bother to send messages and actually communicate with the radio station. There's a vast general populace out there that has to agree with me, obviously.
Have you done the research on this, Damon?
Yeah.
Well, I've been told over the years, just from experience.
Him and Marianne Tam and Dr. Fauci and Tsweliem Mkhize are doing some of their own research at the moment. So just
I'm shit stirring.
That's fine.
All right, Damon, please, the next time you visit Naomi Calvari, just get her to record a message for us, because there are lots of people who are big fans of hers who've listened to her over the years and would love to just hear her saying hello. So just use your phone and you'll have to hold it close to the plexiglass or something, and she can just say, hi, everybody.
I'll have to pass the phone from underneath, and I don't know if they'll allow me. That's tricky because we had to be a certain distance from the plexiglass. You couldn't be on top of the plexiglass. It was very strict. Oh, what I can do is hand the phone to one of her guards that's standing next to her,
prevent
things going awry. The guard or the nurse or the helper can show her, because she won't know how to record. Yeah. She will not know how to. My parents, can I tell you a little thing? My parents never bothered to learn how to work the video machine.
Damon.
We're going back to the early 80s.
Damon, why don't you just press record and then pass it to her? And you can always send me the unedited version and I can cut it.
Okay, I'm embarrassed to say I never thought of that.
Yeah, I mean...
I never thought of that. Sometimes logic doesn't. That's why I was a terrible producer.
You were a terrible producer. Yeah. This is why we had to replace you. And you always had to be... Always,
see, I wouldn't make a mistake like that.
No, you always had to be supervised, which is why Thabo Modisani was the executive producer, and you were just the producer.
No, you're right.
You need supervision round the clock. Thank God for Bernice.
Yeah.
She's taken you off my hands.
Producer was a very glorified, overstated term. I was mainly there for comic relief.
Tell you what, when you announced you were getting married to Bernice, I felt such relief. Because I thought, now I'm not going to have to be responsible for this person for the rest of his life.
You didn't feel responsible. Who are we trying to kid, man? Who are we trying to kid?
I thought, thank God, you finally found someone who'll look after him.
Well, it works both ways. I'll look after her as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's sweet.
Definitely. Anyway, in closing,
yes.
If our insurance contact you, Sia, just keep an open mind.
Thank you, Damon. Keep an open mind. Thank you. Great advice.
Thank you for that full circle moment.
Damon Calvari, who will be writing alongside Marianne Tam in the new Daily Maverick article, which they're planning for this week, about how if you don't wear a mask, you've got blood on your hands.
Sometimes you can write an article, you can read an article, I should say, and somebody makes sense, Gareth.
Yeah.
Somebody may, you don't have people in your lives that you listen to or you read, and they just seem intelligent and they make sense.
That's, Damon, that's also part of the education process, the fact that something doesn't make sense to you. You learn, and then it will make sense to you.
Okay.
I feel like this is turning into the longest goodbye in history. We've got to move on.
Makes sense to wear a mask. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Mask up, according to Damon. That's his public health message. Thank you, everybody. Have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. bright and early. CliffCentral.com.